have to forgive me. I'm a bit full of cold, but hopefully we'll get through this. And God will speak to our hearts. So the title I was given for this reading is Justice. When I looked it up in the dictionary, it meant justice means a concern for peace, a genuine respect for people, and about being fair and just. This image is of Lady Justice and is often seen throughout near court buildings. And it's a Greek and Roman god in origin. But what I like is the symbolism about this statue. The blindfold represents objectivity. The sword that she holds in her hand represents the power of reason and justice. And the scales, that sense of weighing up and measuring the strength of a case. In our society, we expect justice. We live by this principle that we are innocent until we are proven guilty. And that if we have to go through that system, we will find justice if we have been wronged. But we're thinking today about justice in the terms of God being a just God. And the interesting thing about our God and justice is that when we believe in Jesus, and when we come to faith in him, we get what we don't deserve. And what we don't deserve, and what we deserve, we don't get. Because Jesus stands in our place. He has received the punishment that was coming our way. So that when we ask for our sins to be forgiven, he takes the punishment for those sins on himself. God is just and fair and can be relied upon to act towards all people in the same way. He does not show bias. He cannot be bought or influenced. He does not have favorites. He is always fair. He is just and has genuine respect for all people, which is in huge contrast to the judge that we read about in this parable in Luke. Luke is recalling a parable that Jesus told about a widow and a judge. She pesters him, she's persistent, she wants fair treatment, she won't let him rest. And some commentators think that this scenario is likely to be over an economic problem. And the judge is holding off making a decision because he's waiting for a bribe. But we are told that because the widow is persistent, then the judge helps the widow. When I first started reading this parable, before I got to verse 7 and 8, I was thinking, my goodness, what is this saying about God? Will he only answer us if we pester him? And then I read verse 7 and 8. God is not being compared to this judge. Jesus is showing the contrast between the two. The judge in the parable is corrupt and concerned only with himself, more than justice, where the absolute opposite can be said about God. If the crooked judge does the right thing eventually, then how much more can we be assured that the God we serve, the God who is absolutely just and fair and righteous, can always be counted on and trusted to act justly? Luke is full of stories about widows. In Luke 2, we have a widow praying day and night, and she's one of the first people to greet Jesus as a baby. That's no accident. In Luke 7, verse 11, Jesus raises a widow's son back to life. In Luke 18, the widow who is persistent for justice gets justice. In Luke 20, we are told men who devour widows' houses will be punished most harshly. And then in verse 21, we have the story where the widow's offering in the temple is praised because she gives all that she has, her two coins, where all these people who are rich coming in and showing off how much money they are giving. So what is it about widows that concerns Luke? Widows in this society were the poorest of the poor. And when a woman lost her husband in those times, it affected her social and her economic position. So when the baby Jesus is greeted by a widow, that raises her importance. When Jesus raises a widow's son back to life, he is saying, I care about the most vulnerable people. And when a widow's gift is held up to be generous, it gives us into an insight into the way that our God works in this topsy-turvy kingdom, when the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The early church defined itself in terms of how it looked after widows. It was the hallmark of this new community to care for those who were most vulnerable. Luke is confronting his culture, the accepted mindset, and saying that there is a different way. So who are our widows today? Who are the most vulnerable people in society that as Christians we are called to show justice and mercy towards? Maybe it's those without a home. Maybe it's the asylum seekers, people who are looking and having to leave their own countries. Do we see them as Jesus does? So while the title is about justice this morning, and we're assured that God is just, but there's something that God demands of us. This passage encourages us to keep on praying and never give up. Pray through the difficult times without losing heart before the Son of Man comes. The Son of Man, Jesus, is still to return, so this parable is for us today. We are to pray through our difficult times. So how do we pray? Well, how did Jesus teach us how to pray? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are to pray for God's kingdom to keep bursting into this world before it bursts through completely. Your will be done. We know that some of what is happening around us in our lives does not appear to be God's will. This is a parable for the persecuted church, for those of us who are suffering. We are to pray through our difficult times. God knows that we will have difficult times. As Ecclesiastes seems to say, good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't make sense. Fair is a concept that children get quite early on, especially if there's brothers or sisters. They go to bed later than me. It's not fair. They've got more ice cream than me. It's not fair. It's not fair. But I heard someone once say, the sooner you learn life isn't fair, the better off you'll be, because it's not. Now, whether that's pessimistic or just realistic, I'm not sure. But even the psalmist knew in Psalm 73, those who do the wrong thing seem to get away with a lot. It's not fair. But although it appears that way, we are assured that God sees everything and that he will act justly. He will judge us all. Jesus told this story to his disciples to encourage them to pray. But why pray? It's because it puts God right in the middle of what's going on. It makes us focus on him and not just the situation. When we pray, it means that we are acknowledging that God is with us in everything. He is interested and he is listening. When we think, it overwhelms me, God of the universe, God who made absolutely everything, is absolutely interested in every single part of each of our lives. That blows me away. Because I think, how? How does he know me? How is he interested? He must have more important things than to worry about me. But he does. He is interested and he wants us to involve him in every aspect of our lives. He will answer. Not how we always think or how we always want, but he will answer. Because he is good. He is a good, honest, just God. Not a corrupt one like in the parable. God will hurry to help us. You might say, what about the person who has hurt me and offended me? Well, we're told to pray for our enemies and pray for the people who hurt us. That might seem a bit strange. But when we pray for people who have wronged us, however great or small their wrong may be, prayer changes us. Prayer changes how we see that person. It's what happens inside us when we pray that's important. Now, we shouldn't be praying for lightning to strike them. It's not about retribution. Vengeance belongs to God. It's not our job. But we should be praying, praying for forgiveness, praying that God's will be done. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We have been forgiven much. We need to show that same level of forgiveness. It reminds me of the story of the parable of the servant who owes a lot to his master, and the master forgives him. And then that servant turns and goes away to another servant and says, "You owe me this much money," and he can't pay, and so he throws him into prison. He doesn't forgive. God forgives us so much, and our attitude needs to be one of forgiveness. It's difficult to talk about justice without talking about these things too. So in 1 Thessalonians it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We are told to pray in all things. Times do get difficult, but when we can be assured as a people of the way, as followers of Jesus, we are not alone. We have each other, a community who we lean on. We belong to this wonderful, rich tapestry of difference. We now have this great extended family. We have the God of heaven who goes before us, who is behind us, who's on our side. Nothing formed against us shall stand. God is on our side. He wants the best for us, and he will act justly on our side. God wants us to keep talking to him about everything. It's just like having a chat. He's not really fussed if we get muddled, or if we can't find the right words, or if we're not theologically correct. He just wants us to talk to him about everything, because God's in the relationship business, and it's difficult to have a relationship with someone if you don't talk to them. God is desperate for us to build our relationship with him, to know him more, to go deeper with him. No matter how long we have known him, there is always more. God wants the best for us, that we can be assured of. In the Gospels, it reminds us that if a child asks for bread, would a father give him a stone? No. So how much more will God give us what we need? When I was thinking about the persistence of prayer that's talked about in this passage, it reminded me of these two brothers. I don't know if you saw the clip about their in their last triathlon of the World Series. We have Johnny Brownlee, who is near the finish line after this triathlon, and his legs go, and he can't make it, and he's all over the place, and he was winning, and then these people start overtaking him. And his brother comes along, grabs him, and drags him over the finish line and literally pushes him across the line so Johnny finishes before he does. That's persistence. Does God find us hungry for him? These boys were hungry for a win. They were hungry to succeed. We sing, "I'm desperate for you." But are we desperate for him? We sing, "I'm lost without you." But are we? Or do we try and make a go of it on our own? As Christians, we get to be part of the best team. Better than Team GB. Just think of all those athletes. They don't give up because they find it a bit hard. Or drop out because somebody in the crowd shouts a bad remark at them. No, they're determined. They persevere. Being a Christian is not a sprint. It's like a marathon. We're in it for the long haul. There will be times in the 20th mile. I am no runner, by the way, so I'm just guessing. There'll be times in the 20th mile when we think we can't go on. It's just too difficult. But they've trained, and these athletes have prepared so that when difficult times come, it shows people what they're made of. It shows people what we're made of when we persevere, when we come across difficult times and how we react to them. Are we people that rely on Jesus, or do we find that too hard to do? The real question is not whether God will answer our prayers, because you see, that's just a given. He will do. just as an apple will land on the ground when it falls from the tree. It's about whether he will find a faithful people. God as a judge is a theme that goes all the way back to the beginning. In 2 Chronicles it says, "Now let the fear of the Lord be on you. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice, no impartiality or bribery." And in Ecclesiastes 12 it says, "God will bring every deed into judgment." But because of Jesus, we get what we don't deserve. It's not fair that someone takes the punishment for what I did. But that's the story of the cross. He bore my sins and punishment so that when I turn to him, all my sins are washed away. I am spotless before God. He has forgiven me. There will be a reckoning. There will be a day when those who have persecuted you and thought they got away with it will have to answer for what they've done. But God is not an evil judge who can be bribed, who prefers people who are rich and prosperous. No. When we have faith, we live in a topsy-turvy kingdom, a world where the widow is elevated, where it's our duty to care for the vulnerable, where God reaches down and says, "There is no slave or free, no male or female." Of course, we're different, but those differences do not exclude us from being full heirs of the kingdom, heirs alongside our Lord Jesus. I love this quote. It makes it sound so easy, and yet sometimes it's the last thing we do. But this passage is encouraging us to keep praying continuously, without ceasing, about all things, even those things we have banished to the box where we think God isn't interested in that. Because actually, he is interested in every aspect of our lives. To where we work, to who we spend our time with, to how we spend our money, to the people we live with, to the relatives that we care for, to how we feel when we are hurting. He cares about us. He cares about every aspect of our lives. And when there are difficult times, which there will be, that we can count on, life is not at all about the good times. We are to pray through it. We are not to lose heart because our God is good and he is just and he is fair and he will answer our prayers. God will protect us. God will protect his chosen ones. Those who have heard God's call and responded to it. Our salvation is secure. Our relationship with God is secure. So this morning, let us persevere. Let us make sure that in us, the Son of Man will find a faithful people on his return, a people who have prayed without ceasing, who know that their God is just, and that their God is fair, and in the end, he will make it so.